We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, Sheffield Community Church. Good morning to all those that are joining us. You probably could be joining us for the first time today, or you've been joining us for quite a while. We just want to welcome you to our Sunday celebration service, streamed from Sheffield Community Church. Also want to welcome different viewers from different places. It's a joy to minister to you this morning. Amen. So today, as you heard from the present worship team, we start off the Advent season as we remember the birth of our Lord and King and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that he was not necessarily born on the 25th, but it's the season of his birth that we celebrate, and what that means to us as children of God. So I've been grappling, transitioning from what I've been preaching for the last 3 weeks and into the Advent season. So I mixed both. So I'm going to talk about Mary today. The title is Interacting with Favor. Interacting with Favor. Interacting with Favor. Am I okay? I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I'm checking here with the media team if I'm still okay. I moved the pulpit a little bit, so. Luke 1, from verse 26 through to 38. The Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Verse 37. "For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for gathering us this morning from different places. And we pray that our hearts will be open to your word and that the Spirit of the Lord will minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Interacting with favor. That's how we want to start our Advent series this month. Interacting with favor. When we open the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we read about what is called incarnation, which simply means God becoming a human being. And it is this fundamental belief about us Christians that sets us apart from any other religious groups or movements. Because if you believe that Jesus became a human being, then you do believe in salvation, because it is through the blood that was shed on the cross by the Son of God that we can be saved. I need you to also understand this morning that the Advent season of Christmas is really about God becoming man. Therefore, nothing can cancel Christmas. I'm sure you've been reading a lot of stuff in the media about whether or not Christmas is going to be canceled this year in the United Kingdom. I want to announce very clearly that No one can cancel Christmas, not even COVID-19, not a lockdown, a lockout, or a lock up, or a lock under. All these forms cannot cancel Christmas. Here's the point. The point is that Jesus, the Son of God, moved into our neighborhood. He moved into earth. And that changed history forever. That is the Christmas we're talking about. So the series this year really is about the Christmas story, the original narrative. And today we're just starting off with interacting with favor. It can't be a Christmas story without favor being shown to Mary. You have to understand the background here. The Jewish nation has been expecting a Messiah for centuries. Every generation that lived at that time was hoping that perhaps the Messiah is going to come from this generation. And you can imagine for women of the day, every woman was dreaming of such an occasion where he or she will be part of that prophecy that the Messiah will come from Israel. And yet, an angel appears to an inconspicuous woman by the name of Mary. And when the angel Gabriel greets Mary, the scripture says she was greatly troubled, meaning that she was afraid, she was distressed. I believe that she basically freaked out when the angel visited her. Nobody would have imagined that God will come to earth through the birth canal, just like an ordinary human being, and coming to an ordinary young lady called Mary, and yet he did. He actually did come through the birth canal. This is the original Christmas story as told in the Gospel of Luke. Now, what can we learn from this extremely unique encounter that I read this morning that Mary had with an angel? What can we learn from this as we think and reflect about the Christmas story, which is the main narrative of the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke? Number one, first thing we want to know here is that favor is incompatible with an ordinary life. Favor is in contrast to an ordinary life. Luke 1, verse 28, the angel greets Mary and he says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." When we read of such an encounter as the one that Mary had with angel Gabriel, we might think that, oh, that's nice. She was such a special lady. God favored her. It's easy to read that way, but not for this young Jewish woman. That's not nice. She was terrified. This was an angel speaking to her. She could discern that her life will never be the same again. Because the Bible says she tries to discern what all this could mean to her. She could sense that her life will never be the same. The phrase, actually, "you have found favor with God," is not new in the Bible. It's a Jewish expression which was used a number of times in the Old Testament. And we're going to revisit the Old Testament and pull it out from there so that we understand the context in which this was said to Mary. And every time this was said, the life of that person was never the same in the Old Testament. Its literal meaning is, "you have found favor besides God." That's what it means. It means you have found grace beside God. In other words, God's grace has come besides you. That's what it means. And Mary would probably have known the scriptures that say this. And also, she would have known that when the favor of God comes upon you, it means serious business. It means she has been specially blessed and specially chosen for serious business in the economy of God. We know from Noah, in Genesis 6, verse 8, when God was so concerned about the evil, the level of wickedness on earth, in Genesis 6, 8, the Bible says, "And God was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth." And then he says, "But Noah found favor in the sight of the Lord." Now, that is good news. We know that to find favor in the sight of God is good news, but it also means serious business. It's true that Noah found favor with God, but he had to build the ark. Favor did not build the ark. It's Noah who built the ark. We also know that Abraham was called by God, and that calling was because of the favor of God in Genesis 12. But the thing is, he had to leave his people. He had to leave his culture. He had to leave his land. That's the other side of favor. Favor always pulls you up to serious business with God. We also know Joseph. Joseph was favored by God. The Bible keeps repeating, and God was with Joseph. And God was with Joseph, so he prospered. And yet we know that that favor had to take Joseph through pits, through Potiphar, through prison, and into the palace. We also know that God favored Moses. And yet that favor meant that Moses had to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and yet choose to be mistreated along with the children of God, the Israelites. And also it meant that he had to choose to refuse and reject all the pleasures of sin that were available to him as the daughter of a princess, as the son of a princess, so to say. And Daniel, the Bible is very clear that Daniel was highly favored by God. But that meant that he had to live a totally surrendered life to God. He could not live an ordinary life like everybody else. And yet he served in the highest levels of powerful kingdoms in Babylon. He had to change his lifestyle. And that lifestyle led him to a den of lions. So you see, whenever the favor of God comes upon a man or a woman, as blessed as she may be or he may be, as cold as she may be or he may be, it means that something serious is going to be asked of you. The favor of God cannot be business as usual in your life. So as we think about Christmas, we need to remember that there's this young lady whose life was changed forever because she accepted the favor of God. And by accepting the favor of God, she was refusing to live an ordinary life. For Mary, from that day onwards, it was never going to be a normal day in the office. Mary became pregnant, and yet she was a virgin. She had a fiancé to explain to. She had relatives and in-laws to try and explain what has just happened, that something is changing in a physical structure, which she can't explain using physical language. A young lady whose life was never the same, because the favor of God is incompatible with an ordinary life. You can never remain the same. Even the very structure of Mary had to change because the favor of God appeared to her. What more her spiritual life? You got to change too. When the favor of God appears to you, you cannot remain the same. And we have been favored as a people to have God become man so that we can be saved. And that salvation, as it comes to you, comes in such a with such a power that you cannot remain the same person when God touches your life. It's impossible in heaven for you to remain the same person when Jesus has come into your life. If your life right now is still the same as it was before you met Jesus Christ, perhaps you need a fresh encounter with God. Number two, it takes me to the second point. Interacting with the favor of God. When you interact with the favor of God, your life changes. Now, secondly, when you interact with the favor of God, it is the signature of God's favor. The signature of God's favor is his presence. That's the second thing you want to know. That the signature of God's favor with those that he touches or those that interact with him is his presence. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 from verse 30, I'm reading from verse 30 to 32, the Bible says, "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Gabriel was downloading a heavy file from heaven to this young lady called Mary. A heavy file. And Mary had to develop a capacity to carry this heavy file. Because there was so much going on, and Mary had to increase her capacity to just understand what exactly is going on here. And the Bible uses the word, she was trying to discern what's going on. It is a heavy file she was receiving. The angel was announcing to her the first Christmas. This was an announcement, the original Christmas. And before this, I want you to understand some things, why I say this file was heavy from heaven. We got to go back to the Old Testament, because that's where the shadow is. God had favored Israel as a nation, meaning that Israel was blessed and it was called by God. So what is this one thing that distinguished the nation of Israel from all other nations? Was it their food? Was it their kosher food? Was it their dressing? Could it be maybe their praying? Could it be the manner in which they spoke, their accent? If you're from Yorkshire, you've got a certain accent that identifies you as from this land. It's possible. Could it be, I don't know what you have in mind when you think about the nation of Israel and what distinguished them from all other nations, because they were not the only nation at that time. Just like you're not the only believer in your workplace, in your school, in your university. There are other believers too, where you live. Moses gives us a hint about this, because Moses actually made a comment, a very direct comment to God. In Exodus 33, let's turn to Exodus 33. There's a conversation between Moses and God, and God says to Moses, it is after they had sinned, and God says, Moses, I'll send an angel to go with you to the promised land. I can't go with you because something might break out and I might just wipe you off. So I will send an angel to go with you. Now, Moses knew the ways of God. The children of Israel knew the works of God. So there's something about Moses that was distinct from everybody else, because Moses understood what the favor of God meant for his life and for the nation of Israel. And this is how then Moses talks to God in verse 16 of Exodus chapter 33. Moses asks the Lord, "How shall it be known that I found favor in your sight, I and your people, unless with us? In this way, we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people in the face of the earth." So Moses is saying to God, I hear you wanting to send us an angel to go with us. But he says, you know what, God? That's not enough. Thank you for the angel, but no thanks. What would distinguish us, your signature upon us as a people, is not an angel being with us. Your signature is your presence. He says, unless your presence goes with us, how else will we be distinguished from other nations? It is the presence of God that is the signature of his presence. This is Moses' point. And God does agree with Moses in verse 17. He says, okay, I agree with you, for you have found favor in my sight. And that's the evidence of that favor, was that God was going to go with them. A visible presence of God being with them in the nature of a cloud by day to shield them from the sun, and a pillar of fire by night to keep them warm. It is the presence, the visible presence of God for them as a nation. In Isaiah 6, we are told that the whole earth is full of the glory of God. But it is the nation of Israel that had the visible expression of the glory of God. The presence of God was carried by the nation of Israel, or rather, the presence of God carried the nation of Israel right through the days of the wilderness. It was the physical manifest presence of God that they could see. It was visible to the whole nation, and it dwelt among them. It dwelt within the tent of meeting that Moses had built for God. It is through this presence that God will speak to the prophets. It is through this presence that God will guide them. It is through this, they had the privilege of hearing God's voice. That is favor. And then in Luke chapter 1, something extraordinary happens. It's what I call breaking news from Zion. The breaking news these days is that will Christmas be canceled or not? That's the breaking news we're used to in the 21st century. The breaking news is, oh, have we found a vaccine for COVID-19? Which is very good news, by the way. But the breaking news from Zion has got a distinct touch about it. And here it is. The breaking news, the angel Gabriel is sent from heaven to announce the good news, the breaking news. Remember, angel Gabriel stands in the presence of God. And he comes with an announcement to Virgin Mary, and he says to her, oh, Virgin Mary, you will conceive in your womb, and you shall bear a son, and this son shall be called Jesus. That was breaking news from Zion, from heaven. And this news was for us here on earth, specifically to an ordinary young girl called Mary. And then he goes on to reveal the destiny and the identity of this child that Mary was going to carry. And he says to Mary, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. He explains to Mary how this will happen. The angel Gabriel says to Mary, listen, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Interesting expression. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now that means the awesome glory of God will cover you. The same glory that was on Mount Sinai will cover you. That same glory that terrified the children of Israel. So much that they say to Moses, if that's how God speaks, you please go up the mountain and hear for us and then come down here and tell us what God said. That same glory will overshadow you, Mary. It is that same glory that was with the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness and looked after them. That same glory will overshadow you, Mary. It is the same glory that came upon the temple that was built by Solomon. And it is that glory that was so thick that the ministers could not do anything in the temple. That same glory, God says, it will overshadow you, Mary. It is the same glory that as you walked into the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle of Moses, right by the Ark of the Covenant, in the mercy seat, the glory of God will show. The Shekinah glory of God was in that most holy place. That same glory. Angel Gabriel gives the breaking news and says, Mary, that same glory that you have read about in the Old Testament will overshadow you. I call that breaking news. I don't know what you call it, where you are. I call it breaking news. Why is this? You see, it's breaking news. Why is it breaking news? It's breaking news because that awesome, powerful, holy glory was now going to be no longer in the tabernacle. It was now transitioning and migrating into a human vessel. That same glory that terrified people was now going to be contained in the womb of a virgin. The glory of God. The presence of God. It pleased the God of Israel to dwell in a woman's womb in the form of a child. divinity was breaking out of its cover into a human vessel. That, my friends, is God's signature of his favor upon Mary. That, my friend, is why God comes across to us. It's not the gifts you need from God. If that's what satisfies you only, you are missing something. I know it's Christmas season. Already you are sending some very well-text messages with deep meanings, implying implicitly and explicitly what kind of a gift you're expecting from loved ones. Not a bad thing to do. I mean, come on, after all, you have experience of doing this every year. But there's something more important than the gifts this Christmas. It's this breaking news from Zion that divinity wants to find his way in your life. Paul calls it, Paul says, are you not aware that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are indwelt by God. It's no longer in a tent somewhere, the presence of God. The glory of God is no longer in a tent somewhere. The glory of God is now contained in human vessels called human beings, the temples of God. It is God, as big as he is, who now lives inside you. That, my friends, is breaking news. That you can, there's no system that can lock God out of your heart. Nothing. You can't be locked down. You can't lock him out when you open your heart. There is no policy that can lock God out of your heart. There isn't, not even one. So this Christmas, don't get confused that you're alone in your house or with one or two families that are allowed to visit you. Listen to me. You can't lock heaven out of your house this Christmas. Heaven will show up and show you favor. Here's the third one, and then we can close. What do you want to know this Christmas season? What is Advent season about? The favor of God will enable you to overcome limitations. Number three. The favor of God will enable you to overcome limitations in your life. I'm going to jump from where we read to verse 39 of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 39. There's just something interesting to read from there. In those days, Mary rose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So toward the end of the conversation that the angel had with Mary earlier on, Angel Gabriel drops a bombshell to Mary. He says to her, "Oh, by the way, Elizabeth is expecting." You've got to understand who Elizabeth is. Elizabeth is the wife of a priest called Zechariah. And by this time, they were advanced in years. They had limitations, serious limitations. They were advanced in years. Elizabeth has been barren for all her life. She has been battling the embarrassment, the shame in that culture that came with being barren. She's now an elderly lady with no child. That's her limitation. And Angel Gabriel drops a bombshell to Mary, says, "Oh, by the way, Elizabeth is not, she's actually pregnant. She's expecting. She's 6 months pregnant at that time." Elizabeth then says, "Oh my goodness, I've got to go see." Mary says, "I've got to go see Elizabeth," because they were relatives. So she goes off to see Elizabeth. And then something happens when she arrives at that house in Judea, somewhere in the hill country of Judea. When she gets to Elizabeth's house, Something happens, because remember, Scripture has already told us that nothing is impossible with God. So Elizabeth is pregnant because God's word has already gone out of Zion that nothing is impossible with God. And so here is an elderly lady who becomes pregnant because God's word is true all the time. And I want to say to somebody right now today that there is nothing impossible with God. And so something impossible has happened because of the favor of God upon Elizabeth. In other words, the favor of God was not only to Mary or for Mary, but the favor of God was extended to somebody else by the name of Elizabeth, and she was pregnant. So every limitation that was upon Elizabeth's life was lifted that day because of the word of God. There is nothing impossible with God. Whatever limitation you face today, I command that limitation to be lifted in Jesus' name, because there's nothing impossible with God's word. So here is what happened when she visited. Number one, we notice that when Mary steps into the house to greet Elizabeth, just her greeting Elizabeth, the Bible says the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped with joy. How so? Because Mary, who was favored by God, and the favor was beginning to manifest in her womb, she was carrying the presence of God. And it is the presence of God that produced a reaction from the baby of Mary in the womb. That's John the Baptist, by the way. She was carrying John the Baptist. And so it is the presence of God that produced a reaction in Elizabeth's womb. And whenever you carry the presence of God, you are carrying something special that will create a reaction wherever you go. Whether it's a reaction of joy or whether it's a reaction of opposition, it does not make a difference to God. The point is, you are carrying the presence of God. And the presence of God cannot be ignored. The presence of God cannot be put under the carpet. It cannot be hidden. When she just stepped into the house, the atmosphere felt that something was happening. There was power released, which made the womb in Elizabeth's womb leap with joy. The second thing that happened is that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us clearly that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. In verse 41 of Luke chapter 1, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why was she filled with the Holy Spirit? Because there is something about the favor of God. See, the favor of God will lift you to a level where your limitations become meaningless. Your limitations become nothing to you. But for that to happen, you need empowerment. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit, because with the Holy Spirit, you can leap over holes, the Bible says. With the Holy Spirit, you can do things that you think are impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You need the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to end with the third thing here. A lot of things happened to Elizabeth, but the third thing says, you notice that she prophesied that Mary was expecting too. Mary did not tell her that I'm pregnant. But she says in her prophecy in verse 42 there, she says, let me just read it. Let me just get it right here. I don't want to mislead you here. Verse 42. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." There it is. How did she know there was something in Mary's womb? It is the Holy Spirit that came upon her that enabled her to prophesy and see that Mary was carrying something of God. She counts herself as blessed because what Mary was carrying was the Son of God. What Mary was carrying was the presence of God. Mary was carrying the glory, the Shekinah glory of God. And Elizabeth, with the eye of the Spirit, could see that Mary is carrying no ordinary child. She's carrying the Son of God. It took discernment. It took the Spirit of God activating the vocal cords of Elizabeth. The Bible says she gave a loud cry. You know, I'd like to believe, this is my imagination, I would like to believe that Elizabeth was not an extrovert. She wasn't the loud kind. You know, the loud kind. She wasn't that type of a person. Elizabeth, the Bible actually says that when she realized she was pregnant, she went to hide away from the people because she wanted to process what has just happened to her. She was processing, thinking about the limitations she has grown up with, thinking about how she had been limited, how there was a lid over her life. She could worship God, but every time it came to discussion about children, about babies, about nature, about all those kind of things, she was limited. She couldn't engage in that conversation about what to do with a child who wakes up at night sick. She had nothing to say. But one day, the favor of God appeared to Elizabeth, and that limitation was lifted. That lid was lifted. All of a sudden, she could see possibilities happening. And one of the possibilities was prophesying. And she prophesied to the mother of Jesus Christ. She's the first one to give a prophecy after the angel Gabriel. Elizabeth then gives a powerful prophecy. Blessed are you of all women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. She even says, how is it that you, the mother of my Lord, has visited me? It is the Spirit of God. You know, church, Jesus has visited us this Christmas. Jesus has favored us this Christmas. We can do what is impossible before. You know, this Christmas, you could choose to celebrate it differently. You could choose to allow God to express himself through you. Allow God to show forth his power through you. Mary had no idea. I'd like to believe she had no idea what was going to happen in Elizabeth's house. And yet God used her because of the presence that she was carrying. God used her to steer something in Elizabeth's womb. I believe God wants to use you even in this season, this year. God wants to use you to steer something in somebody's life. But whatever it is that you are steering, point them to Jesus Christ. Don't point them to yourself. Point them to Jesus. The real Christmas story, the real deal this season is Jesus Christ. The real deal this Christmas season is not a gift from your neighbor. It's not a gift from your mom or your dad. It's a gift from heaven, a gift from Zion. That is the breaking news. The breaking news is that the Son of God was birthed on this earth. The great news is that divinity became human, the child of God. God is not calling you to an ordinary life this season. God is not calling you to business as usual. Your life could be changed this Christmas. But first, you've got to allow him into your life. First, you've got to open your heart to Jesus. Just like Mary says, let it be to me according to your word. You could open your heart this Christmas and say, Lord Jesus, let it be to me according to your word. This Christmas, I open my heart to you. I invite you into my life. I'm tired of living an ordinary life. I want a life of adventure in the Holy Spirit. I want to make a difference in somebody's life. Every limitation can be lifted today. Today, as you give your life to Christ, I can tell you, ever since I gave my life to Christ, I've never regretted it at all. My life has never been the same. He changed my life. He changed my thinking. My whole way of life was changed when I opened my life to Jesus Christ. He could do the same to you today. As you pray with me, Lord Jesus, come into my life today. I open my heart. Have your way. Forgive me of all my sins. And fill me with your Spirit today. I refuse to continue living life as before. Change me. Fill me. May I never be the same. From today, the old is gone. The new has come. I'm a new creation. Thank you for the blood that cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. And God's people said, amen. If you made that prayer and you believe that something has happened in your life, please do drop a message. There will be a number that will be shown on the screen and an email. Please, would you get in touch with us? Share a testimony with us. We want to help you to start your new walk with Jesus Christ. Before I close, I want to pray for two things today that I believe God wants to bring to our attention. If you are here today, you've got a sore throat, particularly a sore throat, it's so painful, you're finding it difficult even to swallow, I want to pray with you today. Father, just hold that throat. If you're the one, just put your hand over that throat right now. God wants to heal you. Lord Jesus, I release that healing today. That anybody here who's listening to my voice, who has got that sore throat, the power of God is healing you right now. Spirit of God, would you heal? Spirit of God, would you touch? Spirit of God, would your power flow and bring healing in those situations right now? For by your stripes, we were healed. And so I stand on the promise of your word that you are the healer and you are able to heal today. It's not, your hand is not too short to heal today. So let your power flow and bring healing. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen. There's a second, the second situation I want to pray for. Someone here has been having a sharp pain on your body, specifically on the left side. You've been having a sharp pain on the left side. If you could put your hand on your left side, I want to pray with you right now. Father, may you release your healing power where that hand is right now. Let the power of God flow. Let that power of God flow. Your pain, I command you, loose that body and go in the name of Jesus. Let go, let go. I command you, loose that body and let it go. I release healing over that side, over that pain on your side. May healing flow. May healing flow. May healing flow. May the power of God flow and bring wholeness. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. If you were healed, please do give us feedback. We want to hear from you. We want to celebrate with you what God is doing. May the Lord bless you. Have a great week as you think about Advent season. It's all about Jesus. That is the Christmas story. Amen. Bless you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.